The Girl Power Podcast.
This is Shalynn Cole, and we are talking with Jill White Huffman, licensed therapist. Jill, we are going to tackle infidelity, huh?
We are. We can certainly give our viewers some tips to help them understand infidelity better, kind of help you understand what infidelity is. And so, because for some partners, they can definitely view it as something different. You know, they have different understandings, but basically the term describes unfaithfulness. So that's in a marriage or in a relationship. And of course, it can do a lot of damage.
In these days and times, Jill, we all could use a bit of therapy. Don't you agree?
We sure can.
So I know you have lots of juicy information to give us on how to deal with infidelity in relationships.
Exactly.
All right, let's go.
And so, a lot of times it's one of the number one killers for relationships. And so there's different types of infidelity. So what we're going to talk about is just some of the different types. You know, we talk a lot about physical. A lot of people know about physical infidelity. And so we know that's pretty obvious. It's typically when someone is intimate. It's how we kind of view it. But sometimes it's not just having a sexual relationship with a person. It could be, you know, it could come about in forms of touching and caressing. And sometimes even the intimate, the actual sexual act, would kind of be that the crossing point. So it would say we won't cross this line, but we can actually touch and caress each other. So again, that would be a physical type of infidelity. And then of course, emotional. A lot of times people, you know, don't look at emotional infidelity as cheating. So we can get, you know, a lot of times in relationships, people may not feel that they're emotionally attached to their partner. They feel like their partner doesn't understand or is not, you know, hearing what they're saying, and they're not feeding that need, so they'll find it in someone else. So emotional cheating is a very part of infidelity. And then, of course, you know, when we look at it from the pieces of what we call opportunist, it's a type of infidelity when people tend to not, like they would usually not cheat or even look at another person in a sexual way when their inhibition is lowered. So they may like drink or do drugs. And then, of course, that may cause them to be very tempted and then cheat on their partner. And of course, you know, the opportunist type of infidelity, you know, most of those individuals probably really love their spouses. So there's a lot of shame and guilt that goes along with that type of infidelity. And then you've got the romantic infidelity, and there's two types of romantic infidelity. So we're looking at, you know, the conflicted and the non-conflicted types. So when we think about romantic infidelity in terms of conflicted, in those cases, they really love their spouse, but they think they're in love with someone else. And so they're very conflicted about who they really care about. When we look at the non-conflicted romantic infidelity, in those cases, usually they're not really emotionally attached to their spouse as much as they should be. So they know that they love them and they care about them, but they're just not getting that emotional support and that they need to feel gratified. And then, of course, you've got the commemorative infidelity. And in most cases, what happens there is that there's one of the spouse feels that they're just not physically or sexually attached to that that individual. So they've gotten married, they've made that commitment, and they do not want to get a divorce. And there's all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it could be financial ties. Sometimes it could be children. Sometimes it could just be the fact that, you know, what the family. So it's like my family, we've never gotten a divorce. And so we're not going to get a divorce. We're going to stay together and we may do our own things, but, you know, I'm just not sexually or physically attached to you. And so, again, there's just many different types. We could go on and talk about more But these are the ones that I'd like to share. So for those of you all that are listening, I certainly encourage you to run over, go to my Therapeutic Mindfulness Facebook group. It's a free group. You can join it. And there's all kinds of topics that I share about relationships and just things to help you feel better about yourself as an individual.
Now, you raised a couple of flags here that I wanted to maybe get you to expound on just a bit. You said that one of the types of infidelity is that the person may love their spouse, but they may think that they're in love with someone else.
Now, exactly.
Now, is it possible? Mm-hmm. Is it possible to be in love with two people at the same time?
Well, you know, I mean, everything's possible. So it's certainly not for me to judge. So in their eyesight and what they're feeling is that they truly are in love with two people. So, yeah, I do think that, you know, everybody has a right to think and feel the way they do. You know, I mean, you know, can we judge? We just have to make, you know, the partner just has to make that decision to say, is this something that I will or will not tolerate? So it right. would be up to the partner to make that decision. But yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody has a right to think and feel the way they want to.
Okay. Now, and in the situations where, you know, say the people have been married for several years, and they're mm-hmm. just, one may just not be sexually attracted to their spouse. What would you suggest in situations like that in order to deter the person from turning to someone else?
Right. And so what I would suggest is for people to be really honest with each other and tell that person, because there was some reason why you were attracted to that individual. And one of the things I really try to stress with couples is, you know, continue to do what you did before you got married.
Right.
Like, go back to those dating times, because a lot of times, you know, women or men, you know, maybe you used to fix yourself up and that, you know, that was what was attractive to your partner. Or maybe you spent quality time with them, or there were special things that you did, and you start taking this stuff for granted. And then you wonder why your spouse is turning, you know, away from you instead of towards you. But then on the other note, I always say it's always up to the other partner, the one that's turning away, to come forward. And that's how counseling is really helpful, because sometimes they don't even realize that that's what they're doing. It just becomes their norm. Like, what was a normal thing, because people weren't paying attention, they kind of created other patterns and behaviors, and then that became the norm. So again, for those of you all, you know, you women, you men, you know, if you were fixing yourselves up, still keep looking good. If you were giving them time, whatever that is, you know, come to the table, sit down. If you can't do it, talk it out within yourselves, and, you know, find someone that you can kind of sound these things off with, somebody that would be neutral. And again, that's how counseling is beneficial. But again, you may have other, there may be other people that you know that's been in relationships for a long time, and you know that these relationships are healthy and sound. So that would certainly be some suggestions that I would offer.
Okay, one final question. In your professional opinion, do you think that there is something in the psyche that causes people to participate in outside relationship?
You know, I think everybody has imaginations. I think it doesn't matter whether it's cheating or other things that we kind of think of, we dream of, we envision. I think it's just kind of understanding yourself and knowing kind of what's going on within you and what's causing you to do that. So it could be anything. It could be overeating, cheating. It could be wanting to overspend, you know, just all kinds of reasons why people tend to go into that imagination of, you know, wanting to create something that an existence of something that may bring them more peace or more tranquility. But I think if you can kind of come to grips with that and figure out what's really going on and try to get some help before, because sometimes too, you got to think about these cheating events, that it's not, you know, always just affecting you. It could be affecting your children. It could be affecting family members and other people that are associated, you know, with you intimately, maybe not you know, directly, but indirectly. So just taking all those things in perspective would hopefully be able to bring about some wellness and some happiness within yourself that's constructive and productive.
Okay. Well, it's always interesting talking about, you know, real life situations.
Exactly.
In order to help ourselves and heal so that we don't continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. And that's the thing. And, you know, one of the things as you talked about that is, too, you know, looking back at, you know, some of the intergenerational patterns that have maybe taken place. So, you know, sometimes it could be things that have gone on, you know, where you've seen it modeled throughout your generational, you know, maybe dad was a cheater and you feel like you want to be like dad. Or so there's all kinds of things as you were talking about the psyche, like bringing up.
Right.
Have happened. So there's all kinds of variances, and that's that piece where I said trying to get in tune with where that underlining, that root cause is.
Yeah, like those culprit. Generational curses that you have
exactly.
to learn how
those
to break
general.
Where, you
exactly.
know, it stops with your generation, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be, you know, and maybe you can look at the other qualities, because sometimes when I find too, you know, it may have been some way being able to attach themselves or have some kind of indirect relationship with their family member. So let's say if it was a guy that cheated all the time, and maybe dad did it, but maybe they didn't have a strong relationship, but they knew that part. So that's some way of them being able to associate themselves and have that close relationship, because it's like, dad did this, I want to kind of be like dad because I didn't have it. And so being able to look at maybe other qualities that dad had that you could do that might been be a little bit easier. So there's all kinds of things that we need to look into. And again, some people can't do it on their own.
Right.
And that's where help, you know, comes in play, because it's hard to make these changes if you don't know kind of how to sort it out. And then again, you know, look at the things that I write on the Therapeutic Mindfulness Group, because I share so much insightful information, and it just kind of gives you an opportunity to just kind of reassess some of the things that you've been doing, or just thinking a little bit different, sometimes just thinking outside of the box.
Right.
And opening yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, this has definitely been interesting. Like you said, we could go on and on.
We could.
And the name of your free Facebook group is Therapeutic Mindfulness?
It's called Therapeutic Mindfulness. It's a free Facebook group. And again, I share so many. It's actually broken down into 5 components. So we've got a piece that just gives you some tips on being mindful. And so it could be as it relates to relationships, as it relates to yourself. And then, of course, the mindful thought, just teaching you how to think outside of the box and think a different way. Then, of course, we've got the mindful muscle. And those of you all, I'm also a licensed massage and body work therapist. So I do a lot of massage therapy. And so working with people with chronic pain issues, because a lot of this stuff that we go on, that goes on in our relationship or any struggles that we are having, a lot of times it manifests in our bodies and aches and pains as well, especially if we've been struggling with some of those chronic issues.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got just self-care, just teaching you how to take care of yourself. So that's the mindful self-care piece. And then I do a mindful scripture, just talking from what God might say about particular situations.
Okay.
So it's a great group. It's growing. And I certainly invite all of you to join.
All right, Jill White Huffman, you can find her on Facebook, Therapeutic Mindfulness Group. And until next month, we'll talk more next month about, go more in depth about relationships.
We sure will. And thank you so much for having me, Ms. Cole.
Well, thank you.